obsessed with the way you express your self. Some say I only rap about breath, but baby, can I talk about your health? Lungs, lungs. Today on 30 Thoughts with Roxanne Lewinsky, I will be reading some sexy Rainey Rodriguez fan fiction, and on a more serious note, I'll be discussing how DuPont alone poisoned humanity. So stick around, because this is a good way to start off this season, bitch. None of them are wearing masks, and they're all sitting right next to each other, and they don't know one another. I'm going to start off with something on a lighter note today, and then it's going to get really serious. And this is, if you know me, this is something I talk about a lot, and it's like the one thing that really, like, nothing in life really gets me angry except for this thing. So please stick around. The rainy shit only lasts 15 minutes and is entertaining, I promise. So let's get started. Good morning, starshine. The sun says hello. So I was looking at YouTube, and I came across a video of, it was titled World's Skinniest Woman on TV, and it was this beautiful, beautiful girl by the name of Rainey Rodriguez. So this first segment is a Rainey Rodriguez Wattpad fan fic. Okay. Rainey, you need to be skinny. Those six words echoed in the abused mind of Rainey Rodriguez. She had just lost her role as Trish on the TV show Austin and Ally because she was not skinny. Rainey fell into a severe state of depression. She decided to take a walk in the woods. She always did this when she was sad. It was her version of therapy. She usually followed the trail that led her through the woods and to the pond. But today she made her own path. She walked for at least an hour before she began to hear humming. She walked into a swamp. As expected, an unpleasant smell entered into her nostrils. The humming got louder as she followed the swamp. Not the... Oh my god. The humming got louder as she followed the sound. A small outhouse appeared. Okay. The humming got louder as she followed the sound. A small outhouse appeared. Next to the outhouse stood a house in a tree trunk. The humming came from the outhouse. Rainey was terrified. Who was in the outhouse? She hid behind a tree and waited for whatever was in that outhouse to come out. A few minutes later, the door of the outhouse opened, and what walked out changed her life forever. It was an ogre. The most handsome ogre she had ever seen. Rainey was shocked. The ogre walked into the house and closed the door behind him. Rainey tiptoed towards one of the windows. She could hear him talking inside. He was talking to himself. Fiona, oh Fiona, why did you leave me? The ogre cried. The ogre rubbed his head. He paced back and forth from the dining room table to his chair. Then he walked into the other room. Rainey tried to find a window to see him, but accidentally knocked over a bucket of toenail. Oh my god. Rainey tried to find a window to see him, but accidentally knocked over a bucket of toenail clippings. The ogre heard this noise and started running towards the door. Lord, what have I gotten myself into? Rainy tried to hide behind. Oh, wait. Yeah, she fell. The ogre heard this noise and started running towards the door. Rainy tried to hide behind a tree, but tripped and fell. The ogre opened the door and saw Rainy. She quickly scrambled to her feet and tried to run, but he grabbed her wrist with the strength of 100 mothers beating their children with towels. Okay, continuing. Rainy was picked up by the ogre, and he threw her inside his strange hut-like house. She hit the ground and bounced. He put her in a chair, blindfolded her, and tied her arms behind her back. Rainy didn't resist because he was just too handsome. The ogre proceeded to ask her how much she weighed. She told him 154 pounds. He slapped her hard. Her cheeks jiggled. He then threw her onto his bench press. He forced her to lift weights for the rest of the day. No breaks. He fed her half of a gourmet French baguette and 2 sips of apple juice. Rainy was exhausted, but she felt incredibly skinny. He then proceeded this routine with her for 16 days. They completed this routine in complete silence. After that, he unblindfolded her and kicked her out of the house. Rainy immediately noticed how skinny she was. Here is a photo. Okay, I'm actually looking up for more. Because that was shorter than I expected it to be. Here we go. So this Wattpad creation is called Fiesta Salsa, Rainy Rodriguez X Reader. And the description is, Rainy Rodriguez is a beautiful, talented, and gorgeous comedian from Mexico. Her life is going nowhere until she meets Pete Davidson. And if you remember, it was a whole thing. About how she actually caused Ariana and Peter to call off their divorce. So let's dive in. So this one, okay. So this Wattpad, the characters is Rainy Rodriguez as herself. And then the reader is supposed to be Pete Davidson. So I'm going to be both, I guess. Reader's POV. I woke up to my mom calling me. Wake up. It's bad enough you're living in my basement, but you won't be lazy. I groaned and I walked up the stairs. I put my headphones in and played Fiesta Salsa by Rainy Rodriguez. God, no one understands me. I hate my stupid life. All of a sudden, my phone buzzed, snapping me out of my thoughts. Ugh, Becky with the good hair texted me. Oh my God, you know, we need to hang out, she texted. I ignored the text and went back to my thoughts. Becky and I broke up last night and she won't leave me alone. She's obsessed with me, like I'm obsessed with Rainy. This next section is now from Rainy's point of view. Wow, it's so hard being me. I need a man. I'm like a celebrity. I can turn gay men straight, or so James Charles tells me. My boyfriend Tom Holland bursts into the room. Good morning, babe. He treated me with a kiss to my cheek. I smiled at him and took my phone out of my pocket. I went onto the Rainy tag on Instagram. Some cute guy popped up. He had such an amazing smile. His name was... It keeps saying Y/N. Isn't he beautiful? I like the pic and DM'd him. Rainy says, hey. Pete says, oh my God, hi. Rainy says, you're cute. Pete says, you're so hot. Rainy says, are you single? Pete says, yeah, me and my girlfriend just broke up. Rainey says, yeah, I'm planning on breaking up with my boyfriend Tom Holland. He is definitely sleeping with somebody else. Pete says, how could he cheat on you? You're so pretty. And Rainey says, yeah, I know, XX. This is now from Pete's point of view, I think. Yeah. My heart was going at 100 kilometers per hour. I couldn't believe Rainey was flirting with me. Oh my God. Stay cool. Stay cool. Oh, I think it stands for your name. Well, we can be Pete. Tom Holland. Okay, so now this is like a news headline. Tom Holland cheats on Rainey Rodriguez. Rumors have been circulating that the British heartthrob has cheated on skinny legend Rainey Rodriguez. The news comes as a shock as our fave couple have split. Sources say he had a fling with a girl in Ireland during a press tour for his new... Oh my God, let me do this like they do on the news. And now for our next segment, rumors have been circulating that the British heartthrob has cheated on skinny legend Rainey Rodriguez. The news comes as a shock as our favorite couple have split. Sources say he had a fling with a girl in Ireland during a press tour for his new book, Dating Rainey, which comes out next summer. The source says he wasn't drunk when he met the girl and hasn't begged for Rainey's forgiveness. The source also says that it went on to disclose that the Brit is still seeing the mystery girl as she can give him what Rainey can't. What's that? We now go to Trisha Takanawa in the field. Trisha? Thank you, Tom. Continuing. Although Rainey suspected Tom was cheating on her, she didn't actually think it could be true. The couple had dated for a year until the source came out and confirmed the whole thing. Why would he cheat? Who was it with? Is it because of the issue? Rainey's heart broke into pieces. She saw marriage with Tom. She saw her marrying Tom and having a long future with him. He was stupid to throw that away. He was determined to know who this mystery girl was. She dialed someone's number. Hello, Pete. I need you to date me so I can make Tom jealous and make him want me back, she said. Of course, Rainey, Pete replied. Anything for you, Rainey. Great. Okay, we're gonna do this. She said, of course, Rainey, Pete replied. Anything for you, Rainey. Great, here's my address, 420 Weed Street. She hung up the phone. Her phone buzzed. Someone tagged her in a post. Loads of people tagged her in a post. Oh my God, it was Tom and his mystery girl. From what the picture showed, she was 5'7", 1 inch shorter than Tom. So who's the big spoon in bed, right? That's me talking. Continuing. Had short brown hair and broke Rainey's heart more than it already was. She got another notification. Tom Holland posted a photo. She gulped. Oh, no. What if he confirmed it? She tapped the notification and the post appeared. So it's a picture of, I'm assuming, Tom Holland and this girl dabbing. And it says, that's an old trend. Wow, love this girl to bits. And then Rainey says, why would you do this to Queen Rainey, Tom, you idiot? Which is funny because even I know, because it's saying that Rainey's username on Instagram is R-A-I-N-I-I-I-I-I. And even I know that Rainey Rodriguez's Instagram handle is Rainey Day Chatter. So come on. I'm falling out of the fantasy. Why would you do this to Queen Rainey, Tom, you idiot? And what a fan account says, oh my God, I'm here for this. And another one says, I miss him and Randy. Pete says, wow, you screwed up and lost a one in a million girl. Dick move, man. Hashtag fuck Tom. No thanks. Rainey smiled. Pete stood up for her. As much as her heart longed for Tom Holland, who's now her ex, she was sort of happy to fake date Pete. Rainey got a package in the post. It was a copy of Tom's book. Attached was a note. Rainey, I thought you'd like this. There was no name to say who sent it. She opened the book and read the first paragraph. Dating Rainey by Tom Holland. Dating Rainey was a quiet experience, to be truthful. She cared only for herself and no one else. The relationship hung by a thread. I suppose it was also my fault for staying with her for so long. She blew me off into further study her career. I understand why she never made time for me. You know, Rainey was selfish, comparing herself to be better than others. Thought she was the best. And for the first few weeks it was magical. There was a spark. But after a while, she grew distant, and she flirted constantly with other men, but somehow always got away with it. No one called her out for it. There were a few instances where it escalated. I had enough. I wasn't good enough. So I decided enough was enough. That's four times that sentence says enough. Continuing, I met someone new, and she made me feel worth it. It was something I hadn't felt in a long time. This book is my story, my experience dating Rainey Rodriguez. Book. Rainey slammed the book down in anger. That asshole, it was true. He'd be exposing her to his entire fan base and hers. Her fans would want to read it to hear the life of being Rainey's boyfriend. She grabbed her phone. Pete, we need to go public with our relationship, she said. Okay, Rainey, Pete said. And then if you remember all of the very obviously true pictures of Rainey Rodriguez and Pete Davidson. I'm glad I'm revisiting this. Because some of these pictures were just really ridiculous. I'm looking at Google Images right now. Pete Davidson, Rainey Rodriguez. Oh my god, there's a YouTube video. This is ridiculous. Well, you know, if there's one person who is skinnier than Ariana Grander, it'd be Rainey Rodriguez. So yeah. Continuing with Fiesta Salsa. So this is now a Instagram post from Rainey. It says, with my favorite person in the world, at Pete, I love you with all my heart. You make me the happiest woman ever. When I'm with you, you pick me back up. You are the most amazing, selfless man I know. Comments have been disabled! This isn't even a real Instagram. Oh my god. Okay, let's continue. Chapter 4. This is a post from Good Hair Becky. Says, was good catching up with Pete Davidson. Missed you loads. Would do it again. Comments have been disabled. I love that this is not even a real... This is a fucking fan fiction, and they made sure, because to people my age, there is a million... Look, comments have been disabled. That might be four letters in a page, but the message, the power that has, the grace that has, it gives me that... Buzz, those four little words under an Instagram post, like, if Rainey, well, because Rainey does, Rainey turns off Instagram comments on all of her posts, and every time Rainey Rodriguez turns off comments on her post, I would argue that it has more of an effect on the history of the human race than the signing of the Constitution, World War II, the Industrial Revolution, and not to diminish the accomplishments of World War II veterans, because all jokes aside, like obviously I'm joking, but World War II was like the last time that the United States had any business being in a war, I would argue, and if I've met World War II veterans and shook their hands. Anyway, well, because... two of my great-grandfathers were World War II veterans, and when this is fucking Rainey Rodriguez. This isn't for... Okay. Has more influence than all of that, and not to diminish the World War II veterans, you know, the Industrial Revolution, or, you know, the signers of the Constitution of Independence. the Constitution of Independence. But if the Rainey really is that big of a deal. Oh, there's more. I can't. Oh my God. So Rainey felt like her heart dropped. The men she loved always cheated. Okay, so now I'm assuming Pete Davidson cheated on Rainey with Ariana. And you know what else is funny? I'm seeing this picture and like everybody's like, oh my God, Ariana with the thigh highs. Bitch, those are $72 thigh high pleasers. And I know from the pattern of the shoe. And I have the same shoe in white, but it doesn't fit me. Rainey felt like her heart dropped. The men she loved always cheated. She was devastated. Her phone began to ring. It was Pete Davidson. She declined the call and went back onto Instagram. Becky wants to send you a message. So Ariana is now sending Rainey a message. Bex just wants to send you a message. Just a piece of advice, Rainey. Just a piece of advice, Rainey. You can't trust. Don't do it, you know. With a name like that, Rainey, just turn around. Mind your bit. So, good hair Becky says, hey, babe, X. No heart. Because, like, an X is, like, something British people do. And it means, like, a kiss. Hey, babe, X. I'll just say kiss. Hey, babe, kiss. No hard feelings that Petey and I are back together now. Love, Becky. Kiss, kiss. And then Rainey Rodriguez says, go suck some. Rainey replies to Ariana. She says, go suck someone's toe, you clout chasing homewrecker. I hope someone pulls those fake ass extensions out, you scat. Kiss, 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 kiss. chapter 6. Oh, I think that's it. Damn. Oh my God, and I only have. So, this is the more serious topic that I really wanted to cover. I don't know how I managed to fill up 20 minutes of Rainey Rodriguez garbage. I mean, obviously she knows, she sees the pictures of her with Pete Davidson. Anyway, so have you ever used a nonstick pan? Well, nonstick pans, it's not magic. I've literally had my sewing teacher try to tell me it's magic, and I had to tell her because I feel strongly about, and you're gonna be like, oh, this fucking kid fucking feels strongly about nonstick pans. But I beg of you to let me borrow 20 minutes of your time to tell you this story, because it's gonna make you so angry. And it's a good example of how corporate greed and money in America so overpowers human health and everything else, in all seriousness. So with that being said, everybody knows what a nonstick pan is, and everybody's used them. Doesn't matter if you've used them or not. This story does apply to you. It does. Believe me, it does. And you'll hear why. So the coating on those nonstick pans is called Teflon. And Teflon was discovered after World War II. And originally, they used it to cover tanks. It was like a coating for tanks to keep them dry, because that's really what it is. You're basically like glazing a pan, and you're glazing it with this nonstick substance that repels water, which is Teflon. And the reason why, I got a notification on my phone and I got distracted. The reason why, it repels water is because the chemical is comprised of 8 carbon atoms and well, and then it those 8 carbon atoms are surrounded with fluoride atoms. And the reason why that's significant is because carbon as a molecule, so like imagine atoms as Lego pieces. A carbon has like 4 Lego studs. You can attach 4 other atoms to it as long as the other atom has at least 1 stud open. So, you know, you can basically attach as many carbon atoms to each other as you want. And that's, you know, nanocarbon. And carbon is absolutely not anything, is not a rarity in the natural world. Human beings are carbon-based life forms. Most life on Earth that you can see is carbon-based life forms. That's why oil burns, is because carbon combusts. And oil, you know, and gasoline is mostly carbon that, you know, is compacted swamp matter from trees and shit and dinosaurs. It's not actually dinosaurs, but that's the layman's way of saying it, from hundreds of millions of years of it just being blended up in the Earth's crust, and that's what happens to oil. So you have, you know, 8 carbon atoms, you put them together. And the reason why 8 is a significant number is because the maximum amount of studs, per se, on the Lego brick of an atom is 8. So when you compare that, it has 4 open studs. Well, now 3 on the ends and 2 in the middle, you can attach fluoride at every open end and completely close off the molecule, because fluoride only has 1 open stud, per se. And by studs, I mean electrons, but like, I know I've probably lost half of my followers just by saying the word electron, and I've already lost another half just by saying it the second time, so... So by doing that, you basically completely close off the molecule, and it completely cannot be destroyed. Like, you can drop a nuclear bomb on it. You can't destroy this molecule. You can fly it into the sun. You can leave it to decay in the woods for millions and for eternity, for basically eternity. And it will never decay, because it cannot decay in nature on purpose. On purpose. It's literally impossible to destroy. And obviously, like, creating a molecule, a man-made chemical, is much more than putting together Lego pieces. And it's even more to take it apart. You can't take this shit apart. So, little side bit. Fluorine is the same stuff that they put in the water. And it's now... it's scientifically proven that in small dosages, like what's in water supplies to protect our teeth and at the dentist's office, it's harmless. You know, if you drink a gallon and a half of milk, it'll kill you, right? Enough of anything can kill you. So fluoride in and of itself is not dangerous. But when you compare that this molecule is mostly fluoride and fluoride in mass quantities like that, well, it can turn your teeth black. First of all, that's been scientifically proven, is drink too much. You couldn't in a lifetime drink enough fluorine in your tap. Well, where I'm from, you couldn't drink enough fluorine in your tap water to do that. But because you have a closed off molecule, it can't be broken. It repels water. Nothing can stick to it. And it's a miracle substance for nonstick pans. Great. So the sole company patented, owns it, makes it. is a company called DuPont. DuPont is the sole producer of this chemical. Now, the scientific name for this chemical is called perfluorooctanic acid. I don't know what per stands for, but fluoro is fluoride, perfluoro. Octane is 8, and that's like when you have like high octane, that's like the carbon, the 8. Perfluorooctanic acid, and because there's no hydrogen, percent hydrogen, it has 0% hydrogen, that's a pH of 0. Which is less than 7, it's extremely acidic. It's an acid, but it's most usually called C8. And it's basically the main ingredient in Teflon. I'm trying to find a good comparison, but I can't. It's the main big ingredient of Teflon, you know. So DuPont makes it. And within a year of making this chemical, DuPont had noticed that pregnant women who in Parkersburg, West Virginia, at one of the plants where they produce this chemical, pregnant women were giving birth to severely disabled and birth defected children. And if you know me, you know I am a sibling of somebody who was severely disabled from birth, so I'm not being disrespectful. And anyway, this is just the facts. People, these women were having, you know, extremely deformed children who had disabilities. And, you know, not long after, DuPont did tests on rats of what the C8 chemical can do to a pregnant rat's pups, children. And in the human women, you know, children were being born with one nostril, literally crooked eyes, no hair, like facial non-symmetry, just something's very obviously wrong. So both DuPont and 3... Now, most people don't know who DuPont is. So let me just give you a rundown really quick. If you've ever, you've heard of nylon as the fabric, DuPont also is the sole creator, manufacturer, inventor, patent owner of nylon. Tyvek is the shit that they wrap the houses with before they put siding on. They make chemicals and... So that's DuPont. So DuPont and 3M, who, if you ever buy like command hooks and you look on the back, it says 3M, or like sometimes duct tape says 3M on the back. That's the name of the company. 3M also did these tests with rats, just like DuPont did. And they exposed the rats to this chemical in the same way that the pregnant women were. And wouldn't you know it, the rats were giving birth to rat babies with one nostril and facial deformities and disabilities, etc. So, you know, and this is like the nonstick pans are a huge thing. They're an instant hit and they're making DuPont tons of money. And DuPont didn't necessarily make the pans, but they, it's like, you know, Dodge made the motor and Ford built the rest of the car. But they made the Teflon that coated the pans. So, because it was making them so much money, in a hurry to hush up the situation and just sweep it under the rug, DuPont moves all of the pregnant women off of the Teflon line, doesn't tell them why, etc., etc., etc. So they get moved and they don't get told why. And somehow nobody had caught on to, you know, what they were. Well, because the Environmental Protection Agency was not created until the Richard Nixon administration, I believe in the early 70s. And this is what I'm talking about right now. This is like 1952, maybe. Before there was any regulation on chemicals and where they went and what they did. So, this chemical was making DuPont, you know, buckets and buckets of money. So they just wanted to be hush hush about it. So they move the women off and they don't tell them why. Well, DuPont continues doing their own research as to, you know, what effects on the human body and on wildlife that this chemical and that Teflon can have. And this is gonna sound like it's made up because this is like such like a story your grandpa would tell you, like if you're sitting on the porch and it's so stupid and you're like, sure, grandpa. But in the 50s, everybody smoked, you know, it was like drinking water. And DuPont went and put Teflon in cigarettes. And they literally gave them to their employees and said, hey, why don't you smoke some of these? And every single one of that test group of employees who had been given Teflon cigarettes wound up in the hospital that same day that they had smoked them. And this said, I know so much about this. I've done my research. I am not just pulling this out of my ass. So there's that. And then, you know, another example is, you know, they want to do like some tests on the fumes that come from the C8 chemical. So they're like fumigating it in a chemistry lab into a fume hood to like look at the chemical composition and how it reacts with the air and what it would look like if it got into the atmosphere. So, and they're doing that with a fume hood, which is basically like those oven hoods that you have over your oven sometimes with the fan, but they're like, you know, chemistry lab grade for fumes. And, you know, they're doing their research, and as they're doing it, they hear pow, 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 pow on the ceiling. These scientists, and they're like, well, what the fuck? So, like, they look outside and right on top of the vent where the fumigated C8 chemical was coming out of, there was a pile of dead birds. Birds dropped out of the sky dead from the fumes from this shit. And again, DuPont knew exactly how horrible it was since the 1950s. So, you know, let's fast forward 20 years to the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency, which was created by Richard Nixon, who was a Republican. So you can, this next part won't come as a shock to you when I say that originally with chemicals, the EPA had given the green light to chemical companies such as DuPont and 3M to what they call self regulate, which basically said, you know, you're in charge of making sure you don't fuck up. And what they also had all the chemical companies do was report known chemicals that might be dangerous to the EPA so that they could be kept in the EPA's master file. Well, you know, just like in the 1950s, DuPont wanted to be hush hush about the sludge, the toxic sludge that the C8 was, and they didn't report it. So, because they didn't report it, they got away with it for much longer past the 1970s. And so they do that, and then if I have my dates correctly, I don't think it's until 1998, I want to say, when one of the men working the Teflon line develops really bad cancer all over his body. And, you know, DuPont not wanting a big deal buys this man's land for a large chunk of money. DuPont decides, well, that's where they'll put their landfill, and they're not going to put anything toxic in the landfill. Absolutely not. So it's around the same time that a farmer, and these names are all true. You can these are real people that lived, and this is the true story, and this is recent history too. This is still going on. a farmer that was downstream on a stream from the landfill, whose name was Wilbur Tennant. A lot of Mr. Tennant's cattle, who was a cattle rancher, started like just falling over dead. Not unlike the birds did, remember? And he did his own like biopsies on these cows, and like the cow organs were like ballooned up to 4 times their size in all of his cows, and all of his cows' teeth had turned black. Do you remember earlier what I said causes teeth to turn black? So Mr. Tennant goes to Cincinnati to one of his friend's grandson, who is a lawyer. Let me look up, what's his name? Robert Billott. Robert, B-I-L-O-T-T, look him up. Mr. Tennant goes and contacts Mr. Billott because, you know, Parkersburg, West Virginia, it's not a big place. And basically, Mr. Tennant believed he had cause to believe that DuPont was knowingly polluting his stream and poisoning his cow. And Mr. Tennant, in fact, did go around to, you know, in-town lawyers. And where I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania. You can kind of imagine DuPont in Parkersburg, West Virginia, is what Erie Insurance is to Erie. You don't talk bad about them. You don't sue them because they employ half the town. Mm-hmm. So none of the lawyers in Parkersburg, you know, wanted to have anything to do with Mr. Tennant. So he goes to Cincinnati to seek out the help of Mr. Billott, who, believe it or not, is a corporate attorney for a firm that represents chemical companies. And the farmer basically has to beg the lawyer to at least come out and look at the farm for a family friend, because the farmer was friends with the lawyer's grandma. So he goes out, and something's going on at the farm. So, you know, he goes back and to Cincinnati, the lawyer, and does all kinds of research and can't find a single thing about what's being kept in that landfill. All he can find out is that, you know, DuPont has been ordering a very weirdly large amount of 50-gallon metal barrels, you know, the kind of barrels you have a campfire in. So, Mr. Billott, himself, actually approaches the CEO of DuPont at a conference, because remember, he's part of a firm that actually represents chemical companies. And he says, you know, I don't know what's going on with Mr. Tennant's farm. And there's a movie. The movie's called Dark Waters, if you want to look into it. And this is from the movie. But, you know, the CEO's obviously deflecting. Oh, I don't know. I can look into it. I'll have to get back on you. And the lawyer's like, really? Because my client's saying he thinks that you're polluting his stream. Blah, 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 blah. We're suing you. So what the firm that Billott works at does is they file a motion for discovery, which means that by law, DuPont has to provide a copy or the original of every single document or written piece of evidence that they have. And they have to give that to the law firm, Billott's law firm. So they do that, and it's like truckloads upon truckloads of paperwork, and it's one man. So, eventually he's looking through, shit at the landfill, and he's seeing more and more about 50-gallon barrels. And he keeps seeing two different acronyms, PFAS and PFOA. PFOA. And this is kind of a spoiler alert, but because DuPont didn't report this, a lot of their chemicals, he can't find any documentation, not from DuPont, as to what these might even be. So at this point, he doesn't even know whether or not they're chemicals. So he contacts a, well, because he's, in the chemical industry, he's a chemical company lawyer who defends the bad guys. He reaches out to like a scientist professional and they talk, and he's saying to this guy, Balot's saying to the scientist, I've been looking through, I keep seeing a lot of things referencing PFAS and PFOA. And even this guy, I think he was a scientist at 3M. Even he didn't know what those were. And eventually the scientist is like, PFOA? Yeah, that's like a fluoride that DuPont made in the 50s. And they used to make it and they don't make it anymore, which they did. They still made it. They still make it. And the lawyer asks him, what would happen if you drink it? And he says, this they connect now that PFOA is perfluorooctanic acid, what I told you about, C8. And PFAS is perfluoroalkylis, which is just like a more generic term, like pop and Pepsi. So the scientist says, if you drink fluoride in huge quantities, it can cause problems with the frontal lobe. It can, oh my God, I sound like Alex Jones. It can turn your teeth black, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when Balot had first gone to Parkersburg, he had noticed that a lot of not only the cows, but a lot of like the people around town had darkened teeth. So the scientist tells him it can turn your teeth black, and the lawyer has a holy shit moment, realizes it's in their water. It's in their water supply. It's not just in Wilbur Tennant's stream. It's in this whole town's water supply, and it was the lawyer's hometown, I think. So they go and they file the lawsuit and everything. And DuPont, declines, they just refuse to accept this at any point. They unhelpful, refusing to say it's dangerous at all. So, well, they do a water test and they find that this water test showed that the perfluorooctanic acid chemical in Parkersburg, West Virginia's drinking water was 26 parts per billion, which is 26 drops out of an eyedropper into an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Which doesn't seem like a lot, but if you'll remember earlier when I was talking about the EPA, they, DuPont did self-control, self-regulation, and they did their own tests to see what amount of perfluorooctanic acid in drinking water was safe for human consumption. And DuPont's own scientists concluded that one part per billion is the absolute most that's safe for human consumption in drinking water. So, you know, they filed the suit and then they go to court. Well, and they show the water results and DuPont's own documents. Well, and one of the groups that testifies is like the Environmental Protection Agency at the state level for West Virginia. And they get up on the stand and say, we've concluded that a safe amount of perfluorooctanic acid in drinking water is 150 parts per billion. So, I mean, if you can read between the lines, it's very obvious that DuPont paid them off. So essentially what they then do is both parties, well, actually, the firm continues suing DuPont without a tenant, the farmer, because a tenant settled for millions. So the two parties came to a consensus that they would fund a science panel of what I believe is six completely independent scientists that have nothing to do with either the law firm or DuPont and have neither of their interests to falsify their results. So that's what they agreed to. And what they first do is they actually have a testing site set up to take blood samples from the citizens of Parkersburg, because they had reason to believe that C8, you know, the way it was being ingested could cause like horrible shit like testicular cancer and brain cancer and ulcers and tumors and deformities. And so they do blood tests on everybody. Well, if you'll remember, DuPont was the big guy in town. Nobody wanted to speak out against DuPont. So what they do is they literally pay people like $200 per blood sample to come and get their blood tested. And like some like 30,000 people show up and get tested. Yeah. You know, whole families. And this was right before Christmas too. So it takes them years and years and years. Years and years and years. And the agreement was that if the science panel had concluded that this obscene amount of chemicals in the drinking water and in the blood can cause diseases like testicular cancer and cancer in general and brain tumors and pancreatic cancer and everything, that DuPont would have to like personally pay. Like not just a one-time ka-ching out of the, but like every single time somebody went to the hospital with one of those conditions in Parkersburg, that came out of DuPont's pocket. So it takes like 8 years, and this isn't until like 2012 now, which is recent history, that the science panel concludes that there's overwhelming evidence that this chemical, every single thing that they had suspected, pancreatic cancer, brain cancer, tumors, deformities, heart problems, all around health, terribleness, like they go down the list and everything checks out, you know. They WebMD it. And DuPont says, no, fuck you. You're not getting a dollar. So, and this was after a significant amount of this perfluoroalkylic acid chemical had been found in every single citizen's bloodstream that they tested in Parkersburg, West Virginia, which is on the Ohio River. And the Ohio River is part of the Mississippi watershed, which is one of the largest freshwater systems on the planet. That is all downstream from DuPont making the nastiest shit they can possibly come up with and just freely dumping it into the water. So, they find it in everybody's blood in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And DuPont says, fuck you. So what happens is they literally, I think it was 30,000 lawsuits individually were filed against DuPont. And at this point, this lawyer just wanted to prove that he would not give up. This man would not give up because one little farmer came to him for help 20 years earlier. So, they start out with like the three individual cases, like to be cute, and they all get settled for like $1.4 million, 1.6, 1.5, and then DuPont decides to settle the rest of like the 30,000. And I think like in total, it was like $500 million, which is like a month's profit of the Teflon line at DuPont. It's nothing. It's nothing to them. It's a joke. It's a quarter in the gumball machine for DuPont that they've poisoned an entire town and turned their teeth black with the horrible chemical. And this isn't a chemical that, oh, how do we not know it's not coming from something else? No, this is a chemical that is patented, man-made, solely by DuPont. And they paid pennies and just move on. And they're still a company today. So over time, more and more studies have been done, and they've looked at blood samples from like the entire United States and have found that the C8 chemical is prevalent in all of the United States' bloodstream. It's in my. Basically, if you have eaten or drank water after 1954, it's in your bloodstream. And there's like an astronomically thin number of people in the United States that don't have it in their bloodstream. It, like, I don't even think that it's a real thing. What's 90? So if there's, what, 400 million people? Times 0.999998. So that means there's about 600 people in the United States without that shit in their blood, and they're probably some Appalachian Hill people. No, but they find it in all of the United States' blood, and this isn't something I'm making this up. You can research it yourself. All it takes is just type in, PFOA in blood. That's all you need. First headline, it's in all of the United States' bloodstreams. And DuPont alone put it there for money because they were making so much money off of it, and they couldn't be bothered to not dump this shit by the mega gallon into freshwater streams and water systems around the planet. It's in my blood, it's in your blood, it's in your family's blood. Your mother, your grandfather, and it's never gonna go away. They're getting blood samples from newborn babies straight out of the womb who have this chemical in their blood. I was born in 2002, which means DuPont already has their iron branding. What's that they call it that they brand cows with? A prod? They already have their hot iron prod ready to go right out of the womb to stamp DuPont right onto my back, and it's fucked up. So they do more studies and they take blood samples from Africa, from Europe, from Asia, from, they take blood samples from like Polynesian tribes that don't have electricity. They take blood samples from them and they find DuPont's C8 in their blood. It's not only in nearly unanimous in the United States populace's bloodstream. The same can be said for the entire world. To take it even a step further, it's also found in dogs, cats, birds, bees, grass, the trees, the clouds, snakes, fish, everything. Flora, fauna. This is a true statement. And, you know, I've seen The Shining. I've seen Signs. I've seen scary movies. But if there's one movie I've ever seen that was truly horrifying, it's this Dark Waters movie, which is, it's a thriller. It's like a documentary, but it's more like a drama about all of this that DuPont did, and it's all true. It's all a true story. It is believed that C8 today can be found in every living organism on Earth. On Earth. And you listening, you're like, no, not me. Yes, you. It's too late. You don't have a choice. And do you know why? Do you know why DuPont's chemical ended up in your bloodstream? It's going to be in your son's bloodstream, and your grandson's bloodstream, and your great-great-grandson's bloodstream, and your great-great-great-grandson's bloodstream, or your daughter's bloodstream, and your granddaughter's bloodstream, and your great-granddaughter's bloodstream. It's not going anywhere. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? Because DuPont was too big for the United States government. DuPont was too big. DuPont, a privately owned company, obviously with not your best intentions in mind, a private company was too big for a government whose forming document, the first three words is "we the people," too big to be stopped by "we the people." And that is the beauty of capitalism.